Father, we just give you the glory, give you the honor tonight, reverencing you, worshiping you, thanking you because you are so good. And you're the God who's more than enough. You're the God who's always been there. You're the God who opens doors that no man can shut. You're the God who makes a way when there seemingly is no way. You're the God of the impossible. You are our Heavenly Father. We bless you tonight. Thank you, Father God. Now tonight, as we stand before your word, Father, your holy written word, your word is dripping with anointing. Your word already has the anointing on it, Father God. And Father, with this anointed dripping word tonight, we apply our faith. We open our heart to receive the engrafted word of God tonight. And we declare we shall be changed by the word of God. Our thinking shall change. Our mind shall change. Circumstances shall change. Our pocketbook shall change. Everything around us shall change. People shall change. Things on the job shall change. Father God, thank you for the power of the word. It's quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. Your word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our very hearts. Oh, one day heaven and earth will pass away, but not your word. Your word will abide forever. Isaiah 55, you said your word never returns to you without accomplishing the purpose for which you sent it. And we know your word is on a mission tonight. Your word is on a task tonight. Your word has been heaven sent tonight. And so, Father God, we just, we reverence the word. We mix this word with faith tonight. And we thank you for the word of God. And we say, go ahead and speak. Go ahead and speak to us because we're going to do what you say. Go ahead and speak because we're going to make adjustments when you say to. Go ahead and speak because we'll change when you tell us to change. Go ahead and speak. We'll change our thinking. Whatever it is, go ahead and speak. If you tell us to be encouraged, we'll be encouraged. If you tell us to be strengthened, we'll be strengthened. You tell us to have direction, go do this, we'll do whatever you say. So go ahead and speak because we're actively listening and we're going to respond to you. Act on what you say. Going to act on what you say tonight. And then, Father God, thank you for the good Holy Ghost. He's our helper. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you didn't leave us as orphans. Thank you, you didn't leave us without a helper. But you sent a comforter, you sent a counselor, you sent an advocate, you sent a standby, you sent a teacher, you sent a guide, you sent the one who leads us into all truth tonight. He's the good Holy Ghost. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. David said, Father God, your rod and staff comfort me. We say tonight, your word and your spirit comfort and guide us tonight. And so thank you for the word and thank you for the Holy Ghost and thank you for feeding your people tonight. Thank you for having your way. Thank you for unction, for utterance in this very service. Thank you for divine ability to speak to your people tonight. Thank you for speaking to every heart, every individual, every circumstance, every circumstance represented, everybody watching, listening through some other venue. Thank you for speaking to everyone listening to this message tonight. Thank you, Father God, for your plan and your purpose for this evening. We'll give you all of the glory now and then. And then we thank you for Pastor Mrs. Hagen, all who are with them, all who are ministering with them. Use them in a mighty way. Continue to use them. Protect them as they come home. Guard them all. Keep them safe. And Father, we'll be so careful. Give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you can find your seat. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? How many was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord? Praise God. God's always got something good for you at his house. Amen. It's like going to grandma's house back in the day. I loved to go to grandma's house. Grandma always had something good for me. I never been to grandma's house one single time. Didn't get something good from grandma. One year I wanted a racetrack. Man, my mom and dad did not get that racetrack. They did not get it right, but grandma had it. But now you're in your father's house tonight. And your heavenly father always has something good waiting on you. I said he has you in mind. He already knew what you needed before you came in here. Amen. He's got something good tonight. You have your Bible. Turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter 26. While you're going to Genesis, the harvest carnival is coming up and this time of year, so I'm going to give you my Halloween-type joke. Well, these guys are drinking at a bar, And the one guy, this one drunk, he gets drunk. He's had enough. He decides to go home. He's going to walk home, but the shortest way to his house is through the woods. And there's a graveyard in the woods. And he leaves the bar and he's walking through the woods just on his way home, minding his merry business. And he doesn't realize they're going to have a funeral the next day. And so they had dug a grave and left it open. And he didn't see it. He staggered, fell right down to a 10-foot grave. And he started scratching and clawing and digging and trying to get out of that grave. He was scratching and clawing and digging, and he just couldn't get out. He just exhausted himself. He tried so hard to get out of that grave. He scratched and clawed and dug. He couldn't get out the grave, 10 feet high. And so he just, he had been drinking. He sat down there in the corner and just fell asleep. A couple hours later, another drunk came out of the same bar. He walked through the woods and he was walking through the woods and didn't see the grave, fell right down in the same grave. Now the other drunk is sleeping there. The guy doesn't even know. He fell, the new drunk falls in the grave. He did the same thing, scratching, clawing, digging, trying to get out of that grave. Couldn't do it. Scratching, clawing, digging, scratching, clawing, digging. All of a sudden the other drunk wakes up and he just says, without the drunk who just fell in knowing, the other drunk sitting down says, "It's no use, you'll never get out." He got out. That's the joke. Now tonight, you have your Bible, Genesis chapter 26. We're reading from the New American Standard tonight, and in Genesis chapter 26, first we'll read those first three verses, and we'll slip down and read verses 12 through 14. Genesis 26, New American Standard Version, first the first three verses, and then verses 12 through 14, if you will. Now there was a famine in the land, besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. And so Isaac went to Gerar, to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham." Verse 12. Now Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. For he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so that the Philistines envied him. Title of this message tonight, how to keep from starving to death in a time of famine. How to keep from starving to death in a time of famine. Here as we open up this book in Genesis 26, and I don't know, maybe a week or so ago, when I woke up one morning, and I was preparing for my quiet time. I just had on my heart, read Genesis 26. I didn't even know what was in Genesis 26. And so in reading and preparing in Genesis 26, I discovered that those things that we read and meditated on since that time have been for tonight. The land is having, at this time, a terrible famine as this story opens up in Genesis 26. And the famine is so severe, there's no water. You can't get any water. And Isaac, Abraham's descendant, his blessed descendant, in an effort to survive, goes to a town called Gerar to the king of the Philistines, Abimelech. And he's intending to go on to Egypt. But you see, we read the Lord interrupts his plan and tells him, "Do not go down to Egypt." I want to give you right away my first point tonight. We're talking about how to survive and how to keep from starving to death in a time of famine. I want to give you my first point because I'm going to make seven quick points to you tonight before we get out of Dodge. The first one is this: be in the right place. When there's a time of famine, when there's a time of lack in your life, if you're going through any area of your life where there's any kind of lack, make sure you're in the right place. Famine can come in different ways to different folk. You may be struggling in your body tonight. Believe in the Lord for a manifestation of your healing and You might feel like you've been through some time of sickness or illness, and for some people that can be a time of famine. Others still, you may be looking for a job or some way to keep yourself supported and going, and if things are tough financially, you could be going through a time of famine. Still others, you might be here tonight and sometimes find yourself lonely and devoid of friendships and support systems that keep you from feeling that way. And sometimes you may drift emotionally on the verges of depression and loneliness, and you might find yourself in a time of famine. A famine can come in numerous ways to different individuals, but here as the famine showed up, Isaac tried to sustain himself in Gerar, and he was intending to go down to Egypt. My first point tonight, be in the right place. Be in the right place. The Lord warns him against going to Egypt. And of course, we read there, the Lord told him, if you'll stay in this place. Now, Gerar was on the edge of a virtual wilderness. It was a city that was built right on the edge of a wilderness. So he went from a famine to a town that still had a wilderness, built right on the edge of a wilderness, known for its wilderness. And he was intending to go down to Egypt. But the Lord told him, don't do that. I'm going to bless you right here. I'm going to bless you in the midst of the famine. Going to bless you right in this wilderness land. And how many know God's got the power to bless you wherever you are? It doesn't matter where you are tonight, child of God. If you're in God's will, God's going to bless you right where you are. You can be here or you can be on the other side of the moon, and God knows how to get his blessing to you. Aren't you glad about that? We serve a God, he's more than able. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. I said, number one, be in the right place. Over in 1 Kings chapter 17, look, keep your finger now, Genesis 26. That's our key text tonight. We're going to be there the whole night. But 1 Kings 17, talking about being in the right place, God brings a word to Elijah during the time of famine. And it hadn't rained. There was famine in the land. And sometimes, you know, even in an environment like which we live, economies can shift, economies can change. Look all over different parts of the world. Different parts of the world are economically going through famine. And see, a famine never catches God off guard. Amen. But what we better do is we better listen when he's speaking to us. And sometimes the Lord, he knows what's coming in your life. And sometimes the Lord, he might put on your heart to save, to put money away, to be prepared. Why? You may go through a job change. So number one, be in the right place. 1 Kings 17, 3 and 4, and then 7 through 9. God tells Elijah, because there's a famine in the land. And this particular famine, God calls this one. And it was Israel's sin and disobedience and refusal to follow the Lord. And 1 Kings 17:3, go away from here, he tells Elijah. Turn eastward, hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. And it shall be, you will drink of the brook as I have commanded the ravens, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. And so he went, verse 5, and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. Verse 7, it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. And then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and stay there. For behold, I have commanded a widow to provide for you. I said, be in the right place. You know, here for Elijah, God told him where to go. God sustained him. And then, isn't it interesting that the very thing God was using to sustain him, that brook, that revenue stream, whatever it is, it dried up. Have you ever had a brook dry up in your life? Some job you had, your job was going good, and all of a sudden they came in and announced they're making cutbacks. They were paying you a certain wage, and then they came in and said, hey, we're cutting everybody's pay 20%. Or something that you had that was a resource to you. You know, God's our ultimate source, thank God. When you have a source, then you don't have to worry about a resource. Amen? if you got an ultimate source, he can replenish a resource. I wish I had a bigger amen than that. I said, if God is your source tonight, it doesn't matter if something has dried up. If he's the source, praise God, he can replenish the resource. And it didn't catch him off guard when the brook dried up. God wasn't gasping for breath saying, oh, I didn't realize that was going to happen. He already had the next course of action for Elijah. He said, get thee up now and go to Zarephath. I've commanded a widow woman to feed you. I said, God's always got a plan. Aren't you glad? Your heavenly Father's always got a plan. He knows exactly what you should do, knows exactly how to help you. I said, amen. I said, if you're going through any time of famine or any type of brook has dried up, that is not the time to panic. That is the time to get your eyes and ears centered on the Lord, because your heavenly Father knows exactly what to do. Be in the right place. But you got to be in the right place. Amen. It's important to be in the right place. And here, what if Elijah said, I don't feel like going to any brook Cherith? What if he had said, I don't want to drink water out of that brook? What if when the brook dried up, he said, I don't feel like going to Zarephath, Lord. I don't feel like being fed by no widow woman. She didn't feel like feeding him either anyway, but the rest of the story. But the will of the Lord prevailed. You know, when you're going through a famine, you can't rely on your feelings. You better be relying on your Father God. I said, amen. And so he went to where God told him, and God provided for him just like he told him. Let me show you another example. We're going to go 180 degrees the other direction, show you somebody out of position. Out of position. Over in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel this time. Chapter 11, verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 1. Here's a man who had been in position, who had been where God wanted him to be, and he got himself out of position. This is King David. 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. Notice how this chapter starts out. And then it happened. Then it happened in the spring, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the sons of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David stayed at Jerusalem. Now when evening came, David arose from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing. How did he see that woman bathing? He walked around on the roof when he woke up, but he never should have been there anyway. You notice the Bible said it was at a time when kings go out to battle? He was supposed to be on the battlefield. I said, amen. I said, we better be where we're supposed to be, doing what we're supposed to be doing. People don't like it when you teach like that, but it's the truth anyway. We're talking about how to keep from starving to death in a time of famine, be in the right place. David was supposed to be out fighting a war, got himself out of position, got himself in trouble. I wish I could have a bigger amen than that so I can go on to my second points. I got 7 points to make tonight, and that's a weak amen. Look, number two, let me give you my second point. Listen, be a good example. You say, what was your first point? Be in the right place. Second point, be a good example. Go back with me to Genesis 26, Genesis 26, verses 6 through 11. Be a good example, 6 through 11. Genesis 26, 6 through 11. So Isaac lived in Gerar, and when the men of that place asked about his wife, he said, she's my sister, for he was afraid to say, my wife, thinking the men of that place might kill me on account of Rebekah, for she is beautiful. And it came about when he had been there a long time, Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, looked out through a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was caressing his wife Rebekah. And then Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, certainly she is your wife. How then did you say she is my sister? And Isaac said to him, because I said I might die on account of her. And Abimelech said, what is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us. So Abimelech charged all the people, saying, he who touches this man or his wife will surely be put to death. So what's your point now? My point is, be a good example. Okay, now how is that my point? Well, we don't have time to go there, but back in Genesis 12 and 13, we see an example of Abraham, Isaac's father. And he made the same mistake. He failed to trust God when God told him to go somewhere. And he said Sarah was his sister instead of saying Sarah was his wife. And I don't know if Isaac had heard the story over the breakfast table or what. But he followed the same bad example. One of the few bad examples that Abraham gave. Isaac followed that bad example. What was he doing? He was failing to trust God. God had told him to go somewhere and obviously he needed to take his wife, and he was afraid that if he revealed she was his wife, they would kill him. And so he failed to trust God in that situation. But I'm saying, listen, be a good example because somebody's watching you. There's nothing like the power of a good example or the pain that's caused by a bad example. Somebody around you's got their eyes on you and they're counting on you to be the right example. And, you know, I thank God for so many good examples in my life. And as a Christian, you know, I was having my quiet time the other day, and I was playing my guitar and reading my Bible, and I got to thinking about the man who showed me how to have a quiet time. His name's George McGovern. George, he's one of the chaplains for the New York Giants today. And George, he was a campus minister at Rutgers when I was a student there. And shortly after I became a Christian, George asked me one day, he said, Bill, do you know how to have a quiet time? I said, I don't even know what that is. He said, it's a daily devotional time with God. And I said, no, I don't know anything about that. He said, well, I've got a manual I want to give you, but I would like to come and show you how to have some time with God. And could I come over to your dorm and we'll just walk through it together? I said, sure. He said, I need about 30 minutes time. What time would I have to be there? I said, well, I've got early class. You have to come 6 a.m. But at 5:59, there was a knock on my door. It was George. He came 3 days in a row. And we walked through how to have a quiet time. Now, all these years later, I still have my quiet time because George set an example for me and showed me how to do that. And I was thinking, Lord, I'm so grateful for that man. He took his time to get up and get there at 6 o'clock in the morning to my dorm 3 days in a row and show me how to have a quiet time. And it's something I've carried on and taught my sons and the importance of spending time with God. But it started with George McGovern setting the right example. And let me tell you this, if you can't find a good example, then get your eyes on Christ, because the Bible says he's all of our example. You don't have the time to turn to it, but 1 Peter 2, verses 21 through 25, the Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25, the Bible says that Christ is our example. Paul even said, 1 Corinthians 11, follow me as I follow Christ. And if you can't find a good example in your life, be a good example. And if you can't find a good example, then get your eyes on the Lord. He is our example. So number one, listen, if you're going to keep from starving to death in a time of famine, be in the right place. Amen. Number two, be a good example. Number three, be a good giver. Look at verses 12 through 14. Verses 12 through 14. In this land, think about it now, it's a land that has no water. The land's not producing any crops. There's a famine. They've got no water. Oh, but our man Isaac was under the blessing. Just like you, child of God. You ever read Galatians chapter 3? He was under the blessing, and it didn't matter what was going on around him. That man was blessed by God, and God told him, I'm going to bless you in this land. I'm going to bless you in this dust. I'm going to bless you with it doesn't seem like there's no water. I'm going to bless you. It doesn't seem like there's no jobs here. I'm going to bless you. It doesn't seem like there's any doors open. I'm going to bless you. It seems like there's no way. But I've got my hand on you, and I am God Almighty. And he said, I'll open every door for you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your descendants. I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to cause everything you do to prosper. And when Isaac went to plant, he planted, and the Bible said God blessed him so much, he gave him 100-fold. Amen. And because God kept giving him 100-fold, he got rich in that land. God blessed him. And nobody else was prospering like that. But listen, Isaac had the blessing on him. And listen, child of God, the blessing is on you. And when you hear people say, well, the economy's down, well, they ain't got no jobs in Tulsa, you ought to ignore all that. You ought to shut your ears off because you're a child of God. You're under a covenant. You're a covenant child with a covenant God. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. And your God is able to sustain you. It doesn't matter what's going on. Amen. I said, but be a good giver. Amen. And he sowed. He had, listen, he sowed in the land. He sowed. But listen, he was able to reap after he sowed. Let me tell you this. You may be struggling right now. And you may be wondering, well, I don't know how I'm going to give my tithes. I don't know how I'm going to give my offerings. But let me tell you, God will make a way for you. He said, prove me now herewith. Test me and prove me and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. You don't have room enough to receive it. Child of God, make sure you give your tithes and offerings. Was Isaac blessed? He was blessed after he sowed. He reaped after the sowing. The reaping came after the sowing, after the planting. He planted the seed, then he reaped. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. And God caused a hundredfold to fall on him. Now look, God's going to cause a hundredfold. Listen, I'm not promising you God's going to give you a hundredfold. God will give you a return. He'll give you an awesome return. You say, will it be a hundredfold? I don't know if it is going to be. I can't promise you that. I don't know if the Bible promises us that, but I know what the Bible does say this. He'll give it to you pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I said, what you call that? I said, he'll give you a blessing pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Sowing always comes before reaping. There's no get-rich-quick scheme in the body of Christ. There's no get, you know, listen, we better be wise stewards of the resources that God gives to us. Be a wise steward and learn how to save and use wisdom with your finances. But let me tell you, when we sow, we will reap. And don't let anything you're hearing keep you from being a good giver. And so he was a good giver, verses 12 through 14. We saw that. Number four, be the bigger person. Be the bigger person. We said be a good example, verses 6 through 11. Be a good giver, verses 12 through 14. And then be the bigger person. Something traumatic happened in verse 15. And it says, now, all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines, stopped up by filling them with earth. And then Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you're too powerful for us. And Isaac departed from there and camped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Look down at verse 26. And then Abimelech came to him from Gerar with his advisor, Ahuzath, and Phicol, the commander of the army. Verse 27, Isaac said to them, why have you come to me since you hate me and have sent me away from you? And they said, we see plainly that the Lord has been with you. So we said, let there now be an oath between us, even between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you, that you will do us no harm, just as we have not touched you and have done to you nothing but good, and have sent you away in peace. You are the blessed of the Lord. And then he made them a feast, and they ate and drank, and in the morning they arose early, exchanged oaths, and then Isaac sent them away, and they departed in peace. And now it came about on the same day that Isaac's servants came in and told him about the well which they had dug, and said to him, we have found water. And so he called it Sheba, and therefore the name of that city is Beersheba to this day. So, okay, what's your point again? My point is be the bigger person. Be the bigger person. Why is that important? Because as God blessed him in the land, and as God prospered him, and God, Isaac had livestock and crops, and he was just very wealthy. And all of a sudden, the Philistines got jealous. He was so wealthy, the people around him got jealous of him. And they went around to his wells. Now listen, water is like gold in that context, in that culture. I don't know if you've ever been to a dry place. I visited the Chelby Desert one time for 2 weeks up in the Chelby Desert and saw some wells that had been dug. And you can see just water like that. It's like gold. But the Philistines were so jealous, they went around and stopped up his wells. And sometimes people around you can do things trying to block you or trying to block one of the wells that God has for you. And they blocked up his wells. And then on top of that, then Abimelech shows up and says, listen, it's time for you to leave. You've gotten too rich. You've gotten too big. It's time for you to leave, and send him away. And all those wells that he had dug, all of his prosperity, all the water that was like gold that was flowing. Listen, they blocked all that up and then they sent him away. And so be the bigger person. Joseph said in Genesis 50, verse 20 to his brothers, "You meant it to harm me, but God meant it for my good." Romans 8, 28 says, "God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him." It must have really hurt when the Philistines did that to Isaac. They blocked up all of his wells. Must have really hurt him for Abimelech to ask him to leave. Remember this, child of God, life does not always exempt us from pain. Sometimes people hurt us both intentionally and unintentionally. But forgive people and let your heart be free of condemnation and let it go and let God heal your heart. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Amen. And when you hurt and you do things that are unfair, listen, when people do things like that that are unfair to you, never take your own revenge. Bless them in the name of the Lord and pray for them. And remember, Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you'll condemn. It's your heritage as a servant of the Lord. Your righteousness, your vindication, and your proving right come from the Lord." Number five, be willing to work hard. So where do you get that from? Verse 18, Isaac dug again the wells of water which had been dug in the days of his father Abraham, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. You know, after they caved in all those wells, he went back and redug all those wells. Listen, my brother and sister, if we're going to survive during a time of famine, if we're not going to starve, we're going to have to work hard. I said, be willing to work hard. Someone has said this, that success is 10% inspiration and it's 90% perspiration. What are you saying? I'm saying there's no substitute for hard work. And sometimes hard work will require you to work a job. You may have to work two jobs. Somebody said, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus, but you can rebuke all you want. Listen, you might have to work two jobs. Look over at somebody real quick and tell them, get a job. That should have made some of you laugh. No, listen, I've been there in my life. I've had to work two jobs. I remember when I'd work, you know, 8 to 5, get home about 5:20, have to change clothes and be at my next job by 6. Work 6 to 10. I did that for a while. So why'd you do that? It was necessary. I looked outside my window this afternoon. I saw a squirrel gathering nuts and acorns. This time of year, squirrels are using wisdom. They're putting on fat for the winter, but they have hiding places where they're storing nuts and acorns. And they say squirrels they have such a great memory. They can remember like 40, 50, 75 different places where they have stored nuts and acorns over the winter. And if a squirrel can do that, what about you and I? We ought to have some kind of storage place. I wish I had a bigger amen. You can't get no amen when you talk like that. You tell people they got to work hard. You have to work hard. There's no other way. There's nothing I'm saying that is devoid of working hard. But God will bless your hard work. And listen, number six, listen, be unwilling to quit. Just be unwilling to quit. Winston Churchill, he gave a commencement address one time. He stood up at the podium and he said, never, ever, ever give up. And he put the microphone down and sat down. That was his talk. It was one of the most powerful speeches ever given. Never, ever, ever give up. And sat down. And I tell you, we can learn a lot from that. Be unwilling to give up. The rest of the story we don't have time to read, but if you read the rest of that story, you'll see that Isaac went and he dug two more wells, found gushers of water. Except that other shepherds came after he found the water and they claimed that water's ours. And they fought with him over it. So much so, he named one of them the well of the argument. He dug another well, hit a gusher again. The blessing of the Lord was on him. The shepherds came and claimed that one. He named that well the well of anger. So he got away from all of them, dug another well, and the Lord blessed him again. He hit a gusher of water in that same story, and he named that well the well where God makes a way and has provided room for me to grow and prosper. That's what he named the well. I said, amen. And so be unwilling to quit. It must have been hard. Must have been hard to dig those wells and then have to go back and start all over again. But let me tell you this. He was unwilling to quit. And sometimes when it looks like your faith isn't working, you've then confessed it for 100 times and don't look like it's working, be unwilling to quit. If you'll stand on his word and stand on his word and believe it in your heart and speak it from your mouth, his word is working for you. And number seven and finally, be a worshiper of God. Verses 23 through 33. Now be unwilling to quit. That was verses 18 through 22. And then be a worshiper of God. That's verses 23 through 33. And for the sake of our time, it tells us that verse 23, he went up from there to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him in the same night and said, I'm the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. And you know, when God says that to him, I'm the God of your father Abraham, what it really means, God is literally saying, Abraham's right here in front of me. Your father who has passed away from the earth, he's alive right here in my presence right now. I'm the God of Abraham. I'm looking at Abraham. That's what he's saying. You have a loved one who's passed on to the other side. They're in the presence of God alive right now with the victory right now. He said, I'm the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you, multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. So he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. And after they dug a well, and after he pitched his tent and built an altar and worshiped God, they hit water again. And God blessed him all over again. And this time he called that well the well of the oath. O-A-T-H, the well of the oath. Because God had kept his promise. And let me tell you, on the inside of you, child of God, there's a well. Jesus said, look, on the inside of the believer in John 7, 37 through 39, he said, look, there's a well of living water on the inside of you and I. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you, if there's a well in you, it shouldn't be a well of anger. It shouldn't be. Some people, I'm convinced, they got a well of anger in them. Other people got a well of arguments. They're just too argumentative. But let me tell you, God's got a well of the oath for you. You know what the oath is? It's the promises of God. He's got a well on the inside of you. See, my question is, how deep is your well? See, the more we acquaint ourselves with the promises of God, the more we get his word down on the inside of us, there's a well, a well. 2 Peter 1:4 said exceeding great and precious promises. Listen, those exceeding great and precious promises, as you memorize and meditate on scripture, it goes down in that well. And there's a well in you. There's a well of the promises of God. And I want you to know, listen, be a worshiper of God. When he worshiped God, he built an altar, worshiped God, and struck water again. And if you'll worship the Lord, he'll show you where the water is. My friend, listen tonight. We're talking to you about how to keep from starving to death in a time of famine. I said, number one, be in the right place. Number two, be a good example. Number three, be a good giver. Number four, be the bigger person. Number five, be willing to work hard. Number six, be unwilling to quit. Number seven, be a worshiper of God. A lonely prison cell in Acts 16:25, Paul and Silas proved the power of worship when God hit that place with an earthquake. With every head bowed tonight, you might be here and you might be going through some time of famine in your life, something that doesn't seem to be working the way it should. And you may be smiling brightly, but inside you may be hurting. God's got an answer for you tonight. God knows how to open doors for you. He knows where that well is, and God's going to show you what to do, and he's going to help you as you look to him and turn to him. And if you'll reach out to him in faith and ask God to help you, and if you've made some mistakes, he'll forgive you. Ask him to forgive you. He'll help you and bless you and provide for you. With every head bowed, how many of you in here, you say, man, I know what I need to do. I need to get right with God. I'm not living right. I know it. God knows it. Listen, God's patient. He doesn't want any of us to perish. He's a patient, loving Heavenly Father. And if God's moving on you tonight, he's talking to you, he's getting your attention. Let me see your hand. You're here and you're saying, hey, I know I'm not living right, but I want to make it right. I want to get right with God tonight. in this building, you say, hey, I want to make things right with the Lord. Okay, I see your hand. Keep your hand. Just keep your hand where I can see you. God's going to help you tonight. Oh, man, you're going to be so glad if you'll let the Lord help you. If you won't ignore him, if you won't push him off, and he's going to help you tonight. Let me see your hand. Lord, I just want to make it right tonight. I want to make it right. I want to make things right with you. I want to get right with you. Oh, if you'll look to him, he'll help you. He'll help you tonight. I said he'll help you tonight. Things have been drying up in your life, but you've had a famine in your life. It's because you're out of right relationship with God. Your famine's being caused by the relationship you have with God. And when you're living your own life, going your own way, and your relationship with Christ is suffering, oh man, that's what's causing your famine. But God's going to fill you up, overflowing. You might be here tonight and you might be saying, well, I just feel dry as a Christian. I'm a Christian, but I just feel dry. You may be here and you made out of just taking extra time to just get in the river and pray in the Spirit. Maybe there was a time when you just let the river, praying in the Spirit, you just let that flow out of you, an awesome river, but now you may be dry. You may not have prayed that way in a while. But you say, I need to get that back in the river. I need to redig that well. I need to unclog that well. Let me see your hand. You're here. You say, I am a Christian, but I need mine is fellowship with God. I've got to get back in that river. I've got to make it right. Yeah. Okay. You're here and you say, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I want the Lord to fill me with himself. And that New Testament experience, Acts 2:4, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen, let me see your hand. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time. Anybody here like that? Okay, listen to me very carefully. This is what I want you to do. You raised your hand on any of those invitations. What I want you to do, on the count of three, I just want you to stand to your feet. Just stand up boldly to your feet. God's going to help you. Oh man, God's help is rushing to you. One, get yourself ready now. Get your mind off of people. Get your eyes off of people. Two, get your heart ready to receive. Three, just stand up on your feet. You responded to one of those invitations that I gave. Just stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet. Wherever you're at, just boldly stand up on your feet. Just stand up on your feet. What I want you to do is come down here and let me pray for you. Come down here. Just get out of your seat. Come on down here. Don't you be ashamed. God's going to help you. God's going to help you. Just come on down here. I'm going to pray for you. God's going to help you. He's going to bless you. He's going to open doors for you. He's going to show you where the water is. Come on down here. Don't worry about don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about what's going on around you. Just come on down here. God bless you. God bless you. See right there? God's going to help you. He's going to strengthen you. Yeah, just come on. Come on. Let him help you. Let him help you. You are going to be blessed. He told Isaac, listen, if you'll obey me, if you'll listen to me, if you'll do what I say, he said, I'll bless you. You won't walk in the midst of famine. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to strengthen you. Come right on down. Yeah, come on. God's going to help you. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody else, you're in here. You know God's dealing with you. Don't let the enemy talk you out of it. Come on down here. You know God's trying to help you. God's not trying to take anything from you. God's trying to get something to you. He's going to get something to you. The question is, bless you. The question is, how long are you going to stay in that famine? How long do you want to be in that? If you haven't been in it long enough, if you're thinking about people now, if people are your problem keeping you from coming down here, you haven't been in the famine long enough. You might as well get yourself ready. Your famine's going to be extended. Come on, you say, I'm tired of being in a famine. I want God to help me. I want God to help me. I want him to help me. Praise God. He's going to help you. But you have to listen to him. You have to respond to him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's going to help you. He's going to help you. Come on, let him help you. He said, listen, in the day that you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. Don't turn away. Don't go away. Come on. Let me help you. God's got open arms. He said, listen, if you've done wrong, I'm here to forgive you. The blood of Jesus is wiping away every sin you've ever committed. He says, if you need strength, I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to touch you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to open doors for you. But you better let the Lord help you. Let the Lord help you. He's trying to get you out. He doesn't want you in that famine. He knows how to provide for you. He knows how to provide for you, praise God. He's going to help you. He's going to help you. I mean now. He's going to help you right now, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's going to help you right now, praise God. Hallelujah, praise God. Just lift one hand to the Lord. That's where our help comes from. Our help doesn't come from a man. Oh, man, our help comes from the Lord. In the audience, stand on your feet. Release your faith. Extend your hand. Release your faith toward these. Hallelujah. Now, some of you may already be born again. I know there's some situations here where people, some are backslidden or whatever, but we're all going to just say the same prayer in the audience and up here as well. Just say the same prayer. I'll just say a prayer. You just say it after me, okay? Thank you, Father, for helping me tonight, for loving me unconditionally. And Father, tonight, I come to you. I give you my heart. Father, I ask you, forgive me, cleanse me, wash me, make me new again. Father, help me through the Lord Jesus. I thank you for sending him to die on the cross for me. And I accept your offer of forgiveness through the blood of Christ. And I will live for you. I will serve you every day of my life. Father, help me. Touch me. Bless me. Provide for me. Open doors for me. Through the name of Jesus. Father God, heal me in every area that I'm hurting. And I will give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Oh, man. Our God, he's a mighty deliverer. And he loves you more than you realize he loves you. One of our prayer room workers is going to come down now and escort you to a place of prayer and give you guys some materials. This is Brother Paul that's coming. And Brother Paul is just going to answer questions, him and the team of prayer workers. They're going to pray with you individually. They're going to make sure you get everything that you came for. God's going to help you. He's going to see you through. And you'll remember this night because you did a very bold thing to come down here. And God is going to honor you for that. And he's going to make sure that he opens doors and blesses and provides and touches you in a way that you'll be so glad that you did. I want you to go with Brother Paul right now, and he's going to give you materials and answer questions and pray with you. He's not going to keep you long, but he's going to pray with you, and you're not going to leave here the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Just lift one hand toward them. They're our brothers. They're our sisters. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. We know in heaven there's joy when one person turns around. Father, you said when one person repents, when one person turns around, when one person comes to you, there's joy all over heaven. We pray for our brothers. We pray for our sisters that you'll touch them even in that prayer room, that your mighty power will fall upon every single one of them. Father, that they will overflow, 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 overflow. Father, may your unction and utterance come from heaven. And Father, may you bless them, fill them with the Holy Ghost, touch their bodies and heal them, provide for them financially, even while they're in there. Touch. I thank you, Father, for causing the ministering spirits to go, cause money to come to those who came down here, open doors for them supernaturally. We'll give you all the glory for helping them and touching them and providing for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God is a good God. Listen, if you've had any wells that used to be free and flowing, and some of those wells got stopped up, it's time to start digging again. Get those wells open. You may have to spend some time with God and spend some extra time in prayer, spend some extra time reading your word. Get those wells open. Things were flowing to you one time financially and things have kind of dried up. Hey, get back on your word. Get back on your confession. You get that back on that strong confession, believing in the heart, sending the ministering spirits to go and cause the money to come. Get back on that strong. You've had things going on in your body. Get back on the word of God. Get that well open. God's going to flow and help you whatever the need is. All right. You're here and it was your first time. Everybody else sit down. We're leaving in 30 seconds. Sit down. You're leaving in 30 seconds. But you're here and you were a first time guest. Did we have anybody like that? Yeah. Okay. Well, I want you to go with our connection team members. They're going to give you a great gift. They're not going to keep you long. They're going to give you a great gift on behalf of our senior pastors. They're going to bless you for coming. We're just so glad you came. We just want you to know, and we're going to give you a great gift. So let's give all these a big hand. Praise God. We just want you to know we love you. And so they're going to go and give you that. All right. I think everything else is all set. Remember to keep our pastors in your prayers this week. And Father, bless us and keep us and protect us as we go home in Jesus' name. Did I forget anything? Is there anything else left? Okay. All right. Well, you are dismissed. We love you. We'll see you right here Wednesday night for Hour of Power. God bless you.